Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour. Today, I speak with Sarah Clute Bain, and Sarah is a yoga therapist and a health coach who lives in Iowa. And really what I hope you get out of today, number one, just seeing how beautifully yoga therapy and health coaching go together, and basically how we all want to have health behavior change. We all have these ideas about how we can eat better and move more and sleep better and put down the glass of wine or maybe not do so much doom scrolling on social media. But then we find ourselves doing it over and over again. And the thing that Sarah brings that I think is so beautiful is this idea of self-regulation, having a regulated nervous system, and how that really connects into health behavior change. When we have a more regulated life, a more regulated nervous system, when we can learn to slow down and check in, the chances of us making a good decision are much higher. And as Sarah says a few times in this interview, we think of these health behavior changes as willpower or not having willpower, and nothing could be further from the truth. Most of us are overwhelmed. We have way too much going on in life. We're so overstimulated with the demands of life that it's not about willpower. It's actually about your nervous system. And when we have a dysregulated nervous system, we find that we have trouble making health behavior changes and maintaining them. So it's just such a beautiful marriage of health coaching and yoga therapy that Sarah is going to help us understand today. And I think we should go meet Sarah now. Welcome to the Yoga Therapy Hour Season 9. When I had this idea about a year ago that we could take an entire year for all of you to come on the podcast and tell your stories, I had no idea how overwhelming the response would be and how amazing it would be to get to know so many of you, our faithful listeners. I've gotten to know friends and see faces and connect with hearts, all so many people that I didn't even know were out there, people just like you and I. I'm so grateful. And the response has been so large that we're no longer needing anyone to sign up for telling your story. And I want to thank all the people who came forward to make this year on the Yoga Therapy Hour so successful. I'm so grateful to you. All right, let's go meet our guest for today and hear another story. Today, we have Sarah as our guest, and her mission is to kind of help people through nurturing them and creating sacred spaces, find their inner wisdom. And Sarah, you offer integrative holistic coaching as well as yoga therapy to help people meet their unique needs. What else do we need to know about you?
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Amy, today. I'm so, so pleased to share this space with you and have this opportunity to connect with you, because I really feel like, as you and I have talked about already, that our backgrounds mesh so in such an interesting way. And so I went through yoga therapy school at a time in my life where I was wanting to seek more out of the yoga practice. And I think that that's my personality a little bit, is kind of the go big or go home kind of mentality. So when I looked at my options for furthering my education, I stumbled upon the Maryland University of Integrative Health at the time. Now I know it's under a different name, but I explored that program in the hopes that I could expand beyond the yoga practice as a physical practice. And what I found was the opportunity to engage more in depth with meditation practices, with more of the philosophy of yoga. And when I got done with that two-year program, I was thinking to myself, in the middle of a pandemic, I had just gone through a divorce, and I thought, my goodness, what am I going to do with this now? Because I'm in central Iowa, and I really wanted to be able to bring yoga therapy to the masses. but it felt like there needed to be another layer in there. And so I went back to school and received a master's in health coaching. And it really helped bring that together for me in terms of bringing this out to the world. But I think that the real story begins when you rewind back to my entire life story, which I promise I won't share the entire life story with you. But ultimately, my story began probably mostly in my, early teen years. I was bullied for being an overweight kid. And then just all throughout my life, kind of felt something was different about me. And what ultimately I believe led me into yoga therapy and yoga was this passion for really helping people that have been in a place where I have been. And what I found out was, there were layers along the way. There was the bullying when I was young as a heavier child. And then the next layer was anxiety, extreme anxiety from middle school through until basically, well, I mean, I still experience it a little bit here and there today, but I was able to manage it with meditation ultimately. And then going through motherhood and then ultimately a divorce. There's so many layers to my story that felt resonant to help other women understand that they're not alone. And I think that that is really where I come from, is that I want to help women find their inner wisdom because we do have it inside of us. I feel like we are conditioned over years and years and years of different aspects are placed upon us from our families to our even our communities, our jobs, all these different aspects, and really allow people to reemerge with strength and thrive with who they are and help them understand that all the lenses of yoga therapy and health coaching alike.
So, Sarah, I'm smiling a little bit because I think there's so many of us women that feel like, do I really need to hire someone to help me figure out how to get my meals in order, figure out how to get my workout in, figure out how to do my meditation every day? Like, I know for me, I have checklists and I have calendars and I have reminders and task lists and binders. Like, why would someone hire a health coach slash yoga therapist to help them?
Oh, such a great question because I think that there's so many reasons why. And I think that is ultimately a personal thing for that person to have a draw, to have a desire for change or whatever motivation is behind them. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what I know about health coaching and just generally human relationships is that we need support. We need connection. And if people are not feeling supported, where they're not feeling connected to a higher place, whether it be their higher self or something that's just greater than them, sometimes we just feel stuck. And it takes that other person to really help. And I don't want to say pull them because I don't want to pull anybody. I want them to come along with and I want to walk beside them. But in the end, they're ultimately hiring me to be able to help them feel supported, know that there are other lenses or other ways to look at what their issues are and what their concerns are.
Yeah, I was looking through my email this morning and somebody wrote something to the effect of the difference is the therapeutic alliance. You know, that there is a caring person there who's willing to talk to you, support you, help you on those hard days when you're falling off the wagon. Someone who's willing to even help you figure out things like how do you regulate your nervous system when you're having anxiety or you haven't had a great night's sleep? In that moment, like we all want to make good lifestyle and healthy choices, but 40 things to do that day, and you're exhausted at 7 a.m. Like it's nice to have someone have your back, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. And I definitely can speak from experience. I've been through many cycles with that and with my own needing support from the variety of different people who have come into my life. And it's so interesting because how life happens full circle. But at a time when I really needed it the most, which was, I would say, in my 30s, was kind of my rock bottom, if you will. I was just absolutely full of anxiety, staring at the ceiling all night long, not sleeping, and had a life coach at the time come into my life. And I had just started going on medication because I no longer could do it on my own. And that at the time was my support. That was what I needed. And this life coach helped teach me how to meditate. So long before I was even doing yoga, I learned how to meditate. And it was a messy process, but sticking with it and knowing that I had that person to connect with and to keep cheering me on and say, keep doing it, keep doing it. You're going to see the results. And here I am over 15 years later, and I can't imagine my life without that meditation practice because it truly changed my life in terms of my level of anxiety and being able to let go of the struggle that was associated with that.
How do you help people kind of create those patterns that they can start to repeat? And I guess eventually, when you've done it long enough, you almost create a new identity for yourself. How do you help people with that?
Creating a new identity, it is so interesting too when you think of it that way, because again, I just mentioned those layers that we have of conditioning. So ultimately, what I'm helping them do is decondition. And so, what comes with deconditioning is that we have also allowed ourselves to become a certain person or fulfill certain needs to people. And when we go to change that, and say, I can no longer be in service to the other. I need to be in service to myself first. It's really small changes. It's not like one day all of a sudden you say, okay, I'm changing this and this is how it's going to be from this point forward, because it does take time because we obviously got there over time. So we're unraveling that conditioning and finding what are our values, what is important to us, how do I gain the strength and the motivation to continue forward and to regulate? And ultimately, that's really been my message. So us having this conversation today is so timely because I have been saying on my social media page over and over as of recently, it's not just about willpower, it's about truly being able to regulate our systems to be able to start to make those small changes with consistency.
I want to go into that idea of nervous system regulation because that's what the whole season is about in Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. I also want to say one more thing about identity that I recently learned. It's really kind of turned my world upside down. We have a coaching program at Notre Dame of Maryland also, and the head of it is Dustin Morris, and he did some research showing that sometimes we have to adopt a new identity to get the new behaviors to stick. So it's almost backwards. A lot of times we do these new behaviors like working out or eating well or sleeping, at a regular time, getting to bed by 10 o'clock. And over time, we kind of become the person who goes to bed at a good hour, right? Over time, become that new identity. But his research is actually showing the opposite, that if we assume the new identity up front, then it's easier to follow the patterns. So the idea would be, I'm the type of person that goes to bed at 10 p.m. And you keep programming yourself to assume that, knowing that you'll be more likely to follow through then. So I don't know. I just wanted to put that out there because it's been a real transformational way of thinking for me, especially even with my exercise and my eating. I was always such an athlete. And now I'm 55 and I'm not an athlete. And he was saying to me, like, Amy, just assume you are an athlete. There are 55-year-old athletes. You can be one of them. So I'm trying on that identity. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. I actually can really appreciate that a lot. And I think it's something that I have thought about for myself, but I think that this is a great segue to bring into helping my clients in the same way. And I think that what comes up for me with that is I once did an interview with a gentleman who was talking about how we identify with the person that has the 10 pounds on us. We don't identify with the person that releases the 10 pounds. And so therefore it comes back. It keeps coming back. So to your point, if we identify with the version of ourselves where we see ourselves and where we want to be infinitely, not just for a moment, or that, oh, it'll be great. And when I get here, it will be whatever the ending result is for that person. It will be amazing and beautiful and wonderful. Then we have the challenges of life that sneak back in, and we are back on the roller coaster, the cycle again. So I love using that as an analogy of saying, okay, I'm going to be this person. This is who I'm going to be able to release that 10 pounds for good. At the end of the day, that's what I'm helping people do, is make sure that they have stepped into this new identity fully, and they feel confident, and they feel strong, and that they can thrive in that space.
When you're having a hard day and you're falling back into your old patterns, to just remember, no, I am this type of person, as opposed,
Yes.
oh, I'm just going to fail again. I always do this every time. I can't stick to what I promise myself I'm going to do. So,
Yes.
I heard that about 3 months ago, and I've really been trying it on for size, and I think it's helping. So.
I love that. It's a different way of framing it a little bit from what I was picturing or what I've been sharing with people. So I love that practice, and I'm definitely going to embody that for myself as well. Thank you.
It's kind of like the vision board idea, I guess,
Yes.
So, but let's go back to something you had said, that a big part of what you're doing has to do with regulation of the nervous system. Can you talk a little bit more about that with respect to
Yes.
making important changes?
Yes, absolutely. Well, as we know in yoga therapy, primarily the first practices that we really are embodying, or a lot of people I think of, is movement. What I'd like to do is take a step back and just look at it from the framework of going into philosophy, going into breath work, and intentionally doing that breath work. It's not just a, oh yeah, I did a couple of minutes of breathing today, or I noticed my breathing, like really setting aside some time to be able to regulate your system. What happens is when we regulate our system, we're moving ourselves out of this fight or flight into this rest and digest. It's very simple. It's really simple when we think about this, because ultimately, when we're in fight or flight, that is when we eat the cookies. That's when we don't get up off the couch, even though we think we're resting. It's a different kind of rest. It's kind of an immobile, more the fawning, like just like not wanting to move and not wanting to get out of that space. So when we start to make those changes in our regulation and our systems to move us more into that rest and digest, then that flow becomes a little bit easier. The identity of what you're talking about moving into that identity, it becomes a little bit more attainable. We become more resilient to saying no to the cookies or whatever it is, and ultimately how we feel. Because when we're tuning into how we feel, many of my clients who I speak to, talk about that they don't feel good after they had a bunch of sweets or sugar. They're understanding that their body doesn't really want or need that. There's something else that it's ultimately needing, which I believe is going simply back to regulation and regulating our system.
That first step of slowing down enough to check in and ask. I think that's the hardest part. We at Optimal State created a mobile app for this to like remind people a couple times a day, like, hey, check in. Here's an opportunity to see how you're feeling inside. Because otherwise, we get running so fast that we'll go 8 or 10 hours completely detached from what we're feeling inside. And then at the end of the day, we do end up doing these behaviors, whether it's skipping the workout or doom scrolling for 2 hours or something. So, that idea that you have to check in first, I think that's really hard for people. Do you have any tips for that? How to get people to check in?
Well, apparently they need to get your app for sure. That's the first step, because then if they have the app, they have those reminders to help them remember to do that. So I think that one of the biggest things is To take the pause, this is a big part of what I work with people on, is honestly the slowing down and not reacting. Because what we know is that when we react, we're going to probably regret what that reaction is. And so, one of the things too is just through intuition and moving people out of their minds, because we know that our minds are such a strong and powerful thing. And it's so interesting because even when I'm teaching classes or teaching yoga or anything like that, I can always tell when people are maybe not in tune with their body, because I'll say lift your right arm, and maybe they're just not good with their right and their left, but lift their right arm, and they lift their left arm. Again, it just tells me that people, if they slow down and they pause for a moment, okay, my right arm, I have to think about this for a second. But those little cues in life are everywhere, every day. The more that we tune into those cues to help us with the next best step, which I love also sharing that with my clients. Like, again, think about what the next best step for yourself is. And the only way that you can figure out that next best step is by taking a moment to pause before you make the step. And maybe it is having the cookie, and that's okay. We're human and we're meant to, live life fully. But I come from a place where I believe that life can be an 80-20. So if we're doing things pretty consistently and we feel good about how we're taking care of our bodies and that we are tuning into our breath and we're doing some of these regulation practices and we're finding good results from that, there's space for being human and enjoying celebrations. And of course, this is a large part of what people come to me as a health coach is because they have, concerns around eating, overeating, or lack of movement, that type of thing. And what we know is that most people would say if they went for a walk, they literally never regret it. Those things where people, if they get into movement and then they also are stepping away from the things that don't make them feel well and lean into the things that do make them feel good.
Please take a moment with me to go and listen to something a little different, and then we'll get right back to the guest. Many times, as yoga teachers, yoga therapists, or even moms, dads, grandparents, we wonder what's happening with our loved one in between the times we're seeing them. Whether your child went off to college or whether you're a yoga therapist who only sees your client once a month, you might wonder, how are they doing? Well, here at the Optimal State, we have developed a mobile app where people can track how they're feeling mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually at different times of day, seasons of the year. And basically, you can see the data. You can see how your 6 to 10 a.m. slot in your day looks and how you usually feel at that time versus your 2 to 6 p.m. How do you feel at that time of the day? And you can see the patterns. You can set a week, a month, a season, and get the aggregate data so you can see what your pattern is. Where do you tend to go out of balance? And the cool thing is you can just take a screenshot of that summary and send it off to your yoga teacher, your yoga therapist, your parent, your child. It's a really great way to check in. And I think especially for maybe kids that don't want to call their parents all the time from school, they could just show their parent the data, like, okay, I'm doing all right. Here, look at my data for the last 2 weeks. Screenshot. Boom, it's yours. Now you can settle down and stop calling me. It could be that, or it could be that your child is not doing well, but they don't know how to say that to you, or maybe your client. And so your client could take a screenshot of their data from the last week and send it to you as they come into the session, so you kind of have an idea of what's going on with them. So there's many ways to use it, and in addition, there are wonderful interventions that help people to come into balance. So I hope you'll consider checking out on the App Store. It's called Optimal State App. You just type that in, Optimal State App, and check it out. It's free for the first few weeks, so you have nothing to lose from trying it out and checking out how to track, how to get your aggregate data, how to send that off, and then hopefully how to get some interventions. All right, now let's go back to our guest.
I'm just listening to you and taking it all in, and it makes so much sense. And I know for myself, if I have 10 hours packed. And I'm sure a lot of women can relate to this. They get up with kids, they get them to school, they get to work, it's just jammed. I feel like there's like, I have no hope in that scenario. I cannot slow down enough. So what I did all day yesterday was I went through my calendar for all of 2026 and put in my workouts, put out some yoga nidra times in the afternoon, hot tubs in the evening. Like I blocked out my calendar for the whole year. Now I will not get every one of those workouts. I won't get every one of those yoga nidras, but they went in first to help me do what you're saying, even a fighting chance to be regular. What do you think of that? Am I
I think
crazy?
it's amazing. Oh my gosh. No, I think it's a great thing. And it's funny, I was just reading somebody else was saying that they put all their fun in their calendar first, too. Personally, I think those are fun things because they become fun to me because I feel so much better. And I can attest to that as well, that you feel so much better when you get those things completed first. You feel like your cup is full. I feel like my cup is full. I should preface it as I feel like my cup is full when I do those things first.
Yeah. And we can always change it later if needed. Like I said, we don't need to bat 1,000, but if it
Right.
at least is in the calendar, we're making a conscious choice that, okay, well, I need to trade this thing out. It's really important.
Yep.
So.
Absolutely. The only thing I would add too is that I'm a pretty routine-oriented person. And so I think that to your point of having those things in the calendar, it creates a routine. And I don't want to say that it sets us up into a specific momentum, but it does help to keep the energy flowing because we know that once the energy is moving, it continues to move. If we stop the movement, we're going to stop. And it's difficult to get that energy going again. I think that's like the law of physics or something, the law of motion. And I think too, like letting go of the shoulds, people also, I think, have a tendency to do that. Like, I should be farther along. I should be doing this, or comparing themselves to other people. And so, a lot of times, I have people coming to me and they think that they need to be doing this full workout routine. And I just tell them, no, let's soften this approach. Let's look at this from what can I do on Monday and Wednesday this week, or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or, and have them create their calendar and start even sometimes at 15 minutes is amazing. And just starting somewhere and also letting go of that all or nothing thinking along those lines as well.
I can so relate to that because I was a heptathlete in college.
Wow.
Yeah, I know some people are like, what is that? It's a high
Yeah.
jump, long jump, shot put, hurdles, 800, 200, and javelin. If I don't do like a 90-minute kick butt workout, I'm like, why bother? And I've really, at my age, had to wind that back because number one, I'm not capable of that anymore. And if I do that, I can't walk for 2 days. And so I have a rule now that if I'm not enjoying the movement, I shouldn't be doing the movement. Like it's not to get somewhere. It's because I'm feeling good in that moment and I'm feeling embodied and present to my own sensation and it actually feels good. So then it kind of has moved me into swimming, into slower walks in nature. I have a vibration plate. I don't know if you know what that is, but
Oh, yeah.
I
Yep.
love doing squats and lunges because it just, to me, that feels really good. Pilates, yoga.
Yes.
It moved me into much softer forms of movement.
Yes. Oh, you're absolutely speaking my language, Amy. And I think this is, again, part of the thing that I like to share with people as a health coach is we've probably all been there. We probably have all been where you have been. I mean, I have never been that type of athlete. That's incredible. But where you feel like if you're not doing this really difficult, powerful workout, well, then what's the bother? And I think in my age as well, I'm 48. So I think that at my age also, it has really been something I have been attuned to is slowing down. I'm just not willing to do those difficult workouts anymore. I think that there's so much more joy that can be had in the movement that you're speaking of, the nature walks, getting outside. There's a Yale study that talks about literally 20 minutes a day in nature. 20 minutes is life-changing from an anxiety perspective, a grounding perspective, tuning into our bodies. And then, like you spoke of, the Pilates, the yoga, all those types of practices are going to bring us into a mindful state because we have to focus on what we're doing right in that moment. And yeah, I'm right there with you and all of that.
I also think there's some nice research out there stating that when we as women, especially perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause, like not going into a workout that is going to cause more cortisol to rush through our bodies, that it's actually harmful to us hormonally. So that really stuck with me because I was like, okay, I'm not supposed to be going at 85 to 90% anyway. It's not even good for me. So that kind of
Right.
helped me shift my mindset that as soon as I start to feel the cortisol, I'm like, nope, that's not good for me.
Yes, exactly. And I think this is where we bridge that neuroscience to all of what we're speaking about, is that when we're in that repetition and it's a positive feeling versus a threat, that positive feeling is going to help us with that regulation. When it feels like a threat, it's going to put us right back into that fight or flight, sympathetic nervous system. And so this is where that neuroscience and neuroplasticity, which means that we can change our brain. That's the beauty of it, is that even if we feel like, well, I've been like this forever, I've never worked out, or I've never done this. And that's why I always encourage people to come to a yoga class, because I still teach, even though I'm a yoga therapist, I teach a lot of yoga classes. And I get a lot of people who will say, oh, I'm not flexible. And I will say, well, that's why I need you. Why you need to come to class is because you're not flexible. And what I'm going to show you, that you're going to, centimeter by centimeter, you're going to improve and you're going to feel better as you stretch out those muscles.
Do you feel like any of your clients are kind of stuck in that sympathetic overdrive? And is it hard for them to slow down into a Pilates or yoga class or yoga nidra?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that I see it in a few different ways. And I'm very aware of this for myself as well, because I've probably been that student along the way. I know I've been that student along the way, is where we're anticipating the next move in the yoga class. And there's such a lesson in that, because when we're doing that on our mat, it reflects in life too, that we have a tendency to push forward. And I definitely have come from a place where I used to be pushing into life, and I'm really working on bringing in more ease, to the point of what you're saying with the workouts, with so many aspects of our lives at this phase in our life as well, is that we have had to go, 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 do, do, be, be. And now we get the chance to soften and not anticipate maybe the next step and allow for life to come in and again bring us into that feminine presence a little bit more. And that's the same thing in a yoga class when we're pushing into the next thing or the next move. We're going back into that autopilot and we're not allowing for ease to come in.
I'm laughing a little bit because I remember my first yoga class. I thought it was so boring. I was like looking around the room, like, why is everything going so slow? What is the point of this? Like, this isn't even a workout.
Yes.
I just laughed, almost 30 years later. Now we are teaching those people that have never had a chance to slow down, and it feels so foreign.
Right. Absolutely. And I think that too, it shows up in so many different ways in the things that I experienced with anxiety. It was, the not sleeping. Our bodies are in this overdrive all the time, and we may not even really feel like or notice what is going on or understand it. And so that's where, again, they hire people like us to help from a yoga therapy standpoint, from a health coaching standpoint, because they're at a point where they're thinking to themselves, I'm trying all these things, but it's not working, or I'm burnt out, or I'm not good enough, because they're criticizing themselves ultimately. And there's no favors in that. They're not doing themselves any favors in that, because there is a way to be able to retrain where we're at. And like you said, you went from this amazing athlete to trying to slow way down in a yoga class. And now you probably absolutely crave that movement, I'm guessing.
Yeah. And the slower breath-based movements. I'm just thinking about the women that you work with and I work with, how they don't really realize that their anxiety and their insomnia are connected to this nervous system dysregulation. And that is actually even connected to our health behaviors from eating, smoking, drinking, doom scrolling, really any addiction. Right. So people are like, I'm a confident, successful woman. I've been, mastering every area of my life, but I can't stop drinking wine every night. What is wrong with me? And if we help them unwind that all the way back with empathy and compassion for ourselves, like, okay, honey, your nervous system has been completely in sympathetic overdrive for decades. That's why you became so successful. And you wind that back and that sympathetic overdrive is impacting your anxiety and your sleep. And this yoga can actually help you start slowing things down. But I have a question for you, because this is what
Yes.
my ladies say to me, like, well, then how am I going to get everything done? Need to be the top A personality. How am I going to continue to be the master of the home and work and juggle all the things? So do you have any thoughts
Yes.
about that?
Oh, yes, I definitely have clients that come to me, and it's so funny because I consider myself a fairly, like, quote unquote, type A personality. So I've been there. I'm the doer, I'm the goer, I'm the make things happen, check the boxes, make sure the house is running smoothly, and everybody is on task and on track with their life. And ultimately, I feel like this is a spot in life where this is part of the regulating our nervous system. That is your key and your cue to say, I need to regulate my nervous system, because when you're doing constantly for everyone else, you're feeling depleted. And then you're, to use your example, having that glass of wine every night to feel like, well, this is my time to myself. And then that feeds into not being able to sleep maybe properly that night. And then you wake up and you do the cycle all over again. And that's where the exhaustion is really taking place. It's just this constant loop cycle. I would say that this is a process that I work with my clients on. And again, it has to be met with where they're at and what they have going on. But to use that example, I know this probably won't be the popular opinion, but I would say, is there any way that you could cut back on the wine? Because ultimately, the wine might be something that at that time feels good to them because they're getting their own time to themselves. But what's another way that you can get time to yourself that's going to allow you to, sleep better that night, for example? So taking those first steps to really notice what's happening in their life that makes them feel they're burnt out because they're taking care of everyone else and everything, and reclaim that energy and that power back to themselves.
It really does require tough decisions. I'm thinking during the pandemic, I was having wine every night and it did not serve me at all. And so when we moved to Minnesota, we had a certain amount of money to redo our home. And we looked at our bathroom, which has a pink toilet, a pink bathtub, and a pink sink from the 1950s. And then we looked at getting a hot tub. And we had to decide, like, our health and our sitting in the hot tub as our way to have time for ourselves and unwind and not have wine every night. That's where we put our priority to our health. And we still have the pink bathroom.
Yes, I love it.
I'm happy with it. I just feel like, no, my health is more important than having a fancy bathroom. And if
Absolutely.
my guests don't like the pink bathroom, oh well.
Oh, I bet I would love your pink bathroom. And you know that I think it was New York, they said. I'm not really sure exactly, but maybe a bigger city like that. But I think it was New York where they were buying condo buildings and they're tearing out the new bathrooms and putting old bathrooms in.
Well,
Yes. So you have a retro, very popular and stylish bathroom, no doubt.
hey, good to know. Good to
And on top of that, good health because of enjoying all the time that you've had in the hot tub as well. So,
So, what other final thoughts do you want to share with us, Sarah, about your work and this connection between health coaching and nervous system regulation? Is there anything we haven't touched upon that you think is really important for our listeners to hear?
yeah, I think that the message that I really hope people hear today is that your body learns through repetition and safety. And I know we've talked a lot about yoga, but yoga for me is not just yoga in movement. It is yoga in breath practice. It is daily rituals that are going to help you slow down and nurture your body and nourish your body. And not just that, but allow us to move from our mind into our body. Because the more that we know and understand what's going on inside of us, then we can take those next best steps for ourselves and not live in autopilot. And I think that that is really what it boils down to, is that that's what I want to help women see, is that they don't necessarily need a bunch of willpower. You know, they don't need to have all of that together. It's just really one small step at a time to help release that old identity, as we spoke about, release that old identity and honor themselves in a way that helps them grow into or back into. Sometimes we were this person and then life happens and then we need to like almost rewind. Well, I want to go back to this person that was creative and filled with joy. And oftentimes that's the other aspect, is that we've let go of creativity and joy and bringing creativity back into our lives and whatever that is. And I think that that's another thing too, that people oftentimes associate being creative with specifically writing or being able to do art or being able to play a musical instrument. And I just really encourage people to look at what brings them joy. It might be making handmade cards. It might be a handwritten note to somebody. For me, I'm building a yoga class is my creative outlet, and I really enjoy that. And I have a podcast as well. Maybe you would agree with this for yourself as well. I feel like even doing the podcast is a creative outlet for me. Yeah, because it's an opportunity to be able to connect back to what I'm doing, what my mission is, and what I feel is important to bring my voice and your message. I mean, you are an amazing person who is doing such great work in the whole field.
Sarah, I really want to show people your website and how they can get in touch with you. So your website is called www.yourwiseselfwithsarah.com, yourwiseselfwithsarah.com. And I love that because it makes it about the client. Like it's telling them what the outcome is going to be, what the result is going to be if they allow you to help nourish them and create these new patterns. So, what types of things do you have coming up that you'd like us to know about?
I appreciate that so much because I do have several offerings coming up, and that would include, I started a Your Wise Year, so a 2026 program that will support people all throughout the year. It's myself and 10 other healers and coaches that we are going to do a retreat, and then we're going to have a monthly master class that will help support people all throughout the year. And that was really important to me because I think a lot of people start off the year with the best of intentions, with really a big hope for change. And I think that this is one of those time, these opportunities where we can tune into the wisdom of so many different people and what they have to offer. So I have that. I have other offerings throughout the year that will include a 5-day free challenge. I'm also starting a new moon class, which will just be a monthly gathering to do a new moon session. I don't know if I have it on my website specifically. I just sent this out recently that I was feeling called to do something again that would feel sustainable throughout the year, that would also help people continue to feel supported, to have intention setting opportunities each month, and that they can be a part of that. So, yes, if people want to reach out to me and schedule just a 30-minute chat where it's complimentary and we visit about these different offerings that I have, they are more than welcome to do that as well.
And you also offer one-on-one coaching, group coaching, and corporate coaching.
I do. I do. Yes.
Yes.
I have been working from a corporate setting. I've been working with people or with companies, and then I'm actually located near Iowa State. So I'm doing some programming at the university, and yeah, just as much as I can to get out to the masses, and then working with another company called Employee Family Resources that again will also help reach out to people in the corporate setting and workplace wellness.
Wonderful. Well, thank you for being with us, Sarah. It's been such a pleasure to spend this hour with you. And we're not too far away, just a couple of hours between Minnesota and Iowa. So thanks for letting us get to know you today.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy. It means so much to me. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Sarah, for being with us today. And just a little note at the end here. The program that Sarah went through at Maryland University of Integrative Health has now become Notre Dame of Maryland, and that is a master's degree in yoga therapy. We also have a master's degree in health coaching if you're interested. But we also have a brand new program that we're bringing out, and that is anyone who has a master's degree in some other field can come and take a post-master's certificate of therapeutic yoga. And we will be starting that in the fall of 2026. And the main teachers will be myself and Marlisa Sullivan. And we'll be using a brand new book that Marlisa and I have been writing. It's called Applications of Therapeutic Yoga in Integrative Health. And so that book will come out in the spring of 2026, and we'll be using it to teach our fall program at Notre Dame of Maryland. So if you're looking for a place to go and get another certificate or a master's degree, we'd love to talk to you. And then, of course, as I mentioned to Sarah, we do have an Optimal State mobile app. You can find it on the iTunes Store, you can find it on the Android App Store, and it's free for the first month. You can try it out and then see if you want to continue on. And that will help you to build these things that Sarah talked about in terms of self-awareness, stopping, pausing, checking in, and then making, as she says, the best possible choice in that moment. So thank you, Sarah, for being with us today. Thank you all for listening. It's such a pleasure to be with all of you in this new year of 2026. Thank you for season 9 of the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast. As we close season 9, I want to take a moment to acknowledge that you all made this year remarkable. You showed up with your stories. They were honest and complex. They were unfinished. They were messy, and they were beautifully human. Each guest and each listener contributed. And each conversation reminded me that yoga therapy is not just a profession, it's a lived experience. It's a human inquiry over time, requiring resilience and connection and honesty and truth. Season 9 asked each of us to slow down and pay attention. Together, we explored how practice meets real life in grief, in joy, in sorrow, and even identity shifts. And also in quiet moments when something inside of us
understood it before we did. Your willingness to speak from the middle of your journey, not everything was resolved and perfect and sewed up. You made this season what it was by telling your stories. To our guests, thank you for lending your voices, your history, your truth. You trusted us with parts of your life that are not easy to say out loud, and your stories will ripple out in ways you may never fully see. To our listeners, thank you for listening with curiosity and openness. Many of you reached out to say something that helped you feel seen or heard or more hopeful. Now, some of you are telling me that you feel more prepared to take the next step in your healing journey as a result of listening to some of these amazing stories on the podcast. And that's the heart of this work. As we look ahead, I remain grateful for this community and all the thoughtful ways that you engage with yoga therapy. Season 9 affirmed our stories, and we told those stories carefully without performance or pretense, and they became our source of understanding, regulation, and transformation. So thank you for traveling this season 9 with us. The more we learned, the more we practiced, the more we become, and I look forward to continuing that journey together. In season 10 of the Yoga Therapy Hour, we're going to do another big pivot starting in February 2026. We're going to introduce a new format that reflects a new depth and level of learning and growing together. For the first time, guests will appear on the Yoga Therapy Hour podcast by invitation only. And this is going to ensure that every conversation aligns with the core intention of the season, which is to explore the 8 limbs of yoga through the lens of neuroscience and to clarify how each limb supports nervous system regulation. In season 10, I will anchor the season with several episodes, and in these, I'll lay out the philosophical and scientific groundwork connecting the ancient teachings with contemporary research and science. And we'll trace the practical pathways through which yoga changes your brain, your body, and your behavior. These episodes are designed to help you, the listeners, orient to the conversation before the new voices enter the space. Along with the solo episodes, I'll invite a select group of guests who are practitioners, scholars, clinicians, and innovators who've demonstrated an expertise in the area directly related to the 8 limbs of yoga and nervous system functioning, as well as integrative health. Each guest will be chosen because they bring something essential to the inquiry, a lived experience of the practices of yoga, and a clear line of scientific insight and a professional lens that supports yoga therapy in real-world settings. The next season, number 10, is not casual content. It's curated exploration intended for those who want to discern the mechanisms behind transformation. The 8 limbs will not be treated as philosophy alone, but as a functional map for how we as human beings learn to regulate our attention, our perception, our behavior, and ultimately our lived experience. If you'd like to support the podcast in 2026, there are several meaningful ways you can do so. You can become a member of our Patreon community, where your contribution will help to sustain the depth and quality of the conversations we offer. Our Patreon community is called The Yoga Therapy Hour, and you can find it on Patreon. You might also explore downloading the Optimal State mobile app, which is a tool for your personal and professional practice. We're going to be adding so much more content in 2026, and we can't wait to join together on the Optimal State mobile app. It is available for both Android and iPhone. Also, in the spring of 2026, we, Marlisa Sullivan and Amy Wheeler, have a new book coming out. It's called Applications of Therapeutic Yoga in Integrative Health. It is scheduled for release in spring of 2026, and we hope you'll consider purchasing it. For those seeking more formal education and advanced training, we welcome you to look into the Notre Dame of Maryland University School of Integrative Health graduate offerings. In the Yoga Therapy and Ayurveda department, we provide a Master of Science in Yoga Therapy,
as well as a post-master's degree in therapeutic yoga and a comprehensive Ayurveda certificate program. Each of these three pathways is designed to support healthcare professionals and yoga therapists who are already integrating the teachings into clinical, educational, and community settings. Okay, with that, let's end this season 9. Thank you so much again, and we'll see you in season 10.
Thank you for listening to the Yoga Therapy Hour. We wish you a wonderful week. We hope that somehow, in a small way, we've contributed to your well-being so that you can go out and share that well-being with others. That's what life is all about, bringing in the goodness through you and then shining it out to the world. We need you more than ever. So let's all get out there, do good, be good, and have a great week.